Amen. It's just perfect that there's some kids that we hear their noise, isn't it, right? Aren't you glad that Christmas is about kids? That means turn to your neighbor and say, you get to be a kid for a few minutes today. Now, some of you sat in back thinking you'd stay away from me, but I have a movable podium, so you're in trouble now. So I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning, and we're actually going to jump ahead about a week, about 8 days of what happened when Jesus was brought to the temple. And he was brought to the temple to be presented as was the Jewish custom and the Jewish law. I want you to see what happens, some interaction, because there would be two people that would come and would bless Jesus and would bless Mary and Joseph as they brought Jesus with some incredible things. And so this is part of them offering their Christmas blessings. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. It says, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of the purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said, the law of the Lord, a pair of doves, or two young pigeons. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to die, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now may dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of people of Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There is also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 70 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, I just find this fascinating that there are two people that God had promised them that something was going to happen, and they were going to see with their own eyes in their lifetime God bring about a promise. I want you to know that God probably is putting that in some of your hearts. That God says, you know what? There is something special that I have for you, a promise. We know that Christ has been born. Christ is alive. But I believe that God puts in his people a desire to see him do something amazing in their lifetime. How many of you want to see God do something amazing in their lifetime? All right? How many of you, your neighbors should have raised their hand? Okay, just keep that in mind, okay? God wants to do something, and here they were waiting. You know what? You have a tendency to get what you expect. That's something that somebody says, ooh, that's good. You have a tendency to get what you expect. Some people might say, I just don't expect God's going to do anything for me. You know what? You'll probably get what you expect. I mean, God does like to surprise us, but most of the time what he does is he puts in our hearts this expectation. As the Spirit drew Simeon that day, he began to say, you know what, I expect to see God bring deliverance, and I'm going to see it in my lifetime. Now, the other thing that happens, you get what you expect. You need to start expecting. Turn to the person next to you and say, you need to start expecting God to do something. Okay? You need to start expecting God to do something. You get what you expect. Amen? You need to start expecting God to do something in your time. So, why not you? Why shouldn't God do something for you? Amen? I mean, how many of you think he loves the person next to you more than he does you? No, he doesn't. I mean, God loves Vanya, but he loves you guys the same amount, right? God's not a respecter of person. He loves everyone. You are his chosen person. He wants to show you what he has in store. And you have a tendency to get what you expect. So begin to expect God. And you know what? What you'll begin to see is the Spirit draw you to those certain things when God's doing something. When God's getting ready to move, he's going to draw you and he brings it, just like he brought Simeon. He says, you know what? I want you to see something. Now, the other thing that needs to happen is you need to recognize when God's brought what you expected. Hello? You need to recognize it. I mean, of all the people that were brought into the temple that day, Simeon was following the Spirit of God, and he says, you know what? This is what God's doing. This is the promise. So many times, I think we have a tendency to walk right by the promise of God because we don't have our spirit eyes on to say, this is what God is doing. So not only do you need to expect it, but you need to recognize it. I'm going to preach fast so that I'm two points into the three-point sermon. Are you ready? So you got to expect it, and then you got to recognize it. And then the third thing that you need to do is you need to bless it. You need to bless what God's doing, where God's brought you. How many of you are in a place right now in your life that you never expected to be? It might be a good place. It might be a real tough place. But I want you to know that God doesn't ever say whoops. He knows right where you are. He brought you to this place, and you need to bless what God is doing. You need to say, God, I bless the fact that you are working in my life. You brought me to this place, and you could have set me up in any way that you wanted to, but you brought me to this place and this time and given these people around me to do something amazing, to see something amazing. So you expect it, you recognize it, and then you bless it. You bless it. You know what? The Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And the reason why many people never see the blessings of God is because they never give them. God wants you to speak blessings into your life, to speak blessings into the people around you. Now, when I read through the Christmas story in all of its facets, I find out that it was messy. Christmas was messy. Last night after we opened the gifts, I looked around and I said, Christmas is messy, right? But, you know, Christmas is messy. You know, first of all, I think that the innkeeper was a very nice person. I think he's gotten a bad rap, right? Now, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, what we see is the stable. In our Western culture, that's because we were brought up where they have barns, okay? In the Mideast, that's not the way they do it. They have caves, okay? And the inn was probably a cave. I went to a cave in Tekoa, which was where Amos was from, and saw probably what it was like where Jesus was born. You walked in, and there was this one room, and as they would bring their bedrolls in, as they do in crowded places, you just kind of make room. You know what I'm talking about? So usually somebody would come on, yeah, we got enough room, come, and they'd make room, and they made room whether there was room or not. You know what I'm talking about? Reminds me of a bus ride I had in Jamaica one time, okay? It was like, Jamaicans can put a lot of people on a bus, let me tell you. They made room and made room. Now, in this cave that I saw, there was also another room, which would have been where they kept the animals to get them out. And it was the same cave, just a different room. Now, if you were about to have a baby, how many of you would like to be in the room where everybody was making room? No. You would want to go over. How many of you would rather be over with a few animals and a little bit of privacy? But in all of this, are you getting the picture that Christmas was messy? It was messy. How many of you think that would want to know what the conversation between Mary and Joseph was like when Mary explained to him that she was pregnant and it came by the Holy Spirit? How many think that conversation was a little messy? A little messy. Things happen, and sometimes it was even very heart-wrenching when the decree went out and all of the children were killed in that area because of the fear of the child. How many of you know that was a messy place? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you say your family and your life can get a little messy at times? Yeah. I mean, everybody's family is kind of like, right? And do we have a perfect family in here? Okay. No, the Larsons are not a perfect. Have I got some stories for you? But you know what? The one thing is about my family and about your family is Christ comes to those messy families. He comes to those places and that Emmanuel steps in. Now, you got to expect that Christ is going to come into your messy family. You got to recognize when it's Christ that's coming into your messy family. And you got to bless what God's doing in that. Amen?